Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Jamming in the Attic. I am your host, Andre Olivier. We're just here with some really cool artists, hanging out, talking about music, things. I don't know. We're going to figure it out. But my first guest of the first episode of this series is somebody I've been playing music with for a really long time. We took a little bit of a break, but we've come back stronger than ever. Yes. Megan Forey, how you doing?
Hello, Andre.
Hello. How does it feel to listen to your song like that? Do you like love it? Do you want to listen to it a million times, or do you want to like put it away and let people hear it? But
I do like to listen to it, but definitely not a million times.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it says about me, but I do that. I listened to the song we just did together, mm-hmm. Love, like a million times. To the point I was sick of it. And I even sent it to a friend of mine in Nashville so that she could tell me what it sounded like. Because I'm like, I know what the vocals sound like. Mm-hmm. I know what all the different things. But if I try to take a step back and just listen to the whole thing, I can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm pinpointing little things that, I don't know.
And that's why I don't listen to it that much. But it is cool to hear it.
Well, welcome. Well, I really appreciate you doing this. This is my first ever episode of a podcast, so I don't know what I'm doing. So we're going to figure it out together.
Yeah, this is my first time on a podcast.
So. Very cool. Well, we're going to get to it. I've been knowing you since, I think, 2010 or 11, so almost...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like 9 or 10 years. And we met through a program called Creative Music for Kids.
Yep.
And it's basically a program that got kids together from, I think the youngest were like 10 to like what we were, like 15, 16. And I think we even had some like 18-year-olds or whatever. But basically, it's guitar classes, but we used to learn songs, and sometimes there were drum classes. They had drummers. So all these different kids learning all these different instruments, and yeah. Then we would have like a big show called The Extravaganza, and we just basically perform. But you and a bunch of other people, well, I'm not going to say it. Why don't you tell me? You were in a band called Uprising.
Yes.
Which is kind of where we originally met.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you guys at a like a 5K run event. Yeah. I don't know if you know that, but that's the first time I ever saw y'all, and I met Miss Tammy.
Well, I think that is the first show that we did with the band name Uprising.
Seriously?
Yeah.
A 5K run?
Yes.
Damn. Well, I didn't know that either.
I'm pretty positive that was the first time, because we were just known as Creative Music for Kids.
Yeah.
At first, but then we kind of started playing more shows and getting more serious, so we were like, well, we need a band name, and right. My dad's actually one that came up with Uprising, so like 5 minutes before we went on stage, we were just like, so like, what are we gonna call ourselves? While wearing Creative Music for Kids shirts.
Yeah.
In 5 minutes we decided, okay, Uprising.
Damn. Well, you guys were kind of like this, like, I'm not gonna say celebrity band, but y'all were like the big shit as far as like local bands were concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ahead of myself. So in Creative Music for Kids, you and some other people kind of met, and were y'all friends beforehand?
I knew Britton, which was a drummer, because we went to the same school, but
yeah. But you met the rest of them?
Met the rest of them through Creative Music for Kids.
And y'all were in a band, and I went to that 5K run. I saw y'all play, and I learned that it was a program, and my parents were looking at me, and they're like, you should join. You could be like them. And it felt kind of, like, corny at the time. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. But at the time, I was just taking guitar lessons. I was desperate to mm-hmm. do something with it. So I went, and same thing. I met some people that I got close to, and we ended up forming a band, and we were kind of like the little brother to y'all.
You know? Yeah. And Creative Music for Kids, like the first 3 years I was in it, it was just strictly guitar lessons. And like the teacher, like for people who wanted to sing or wanted to learn how to sing, she would incorporate stuff to teach us more than just guitar. And so it went from like just being regular guitar lessons to having advanced groups and stuff. And then just whoever wanted to learn anything else learned it. And that's kind of how we all came together as a band, because she saw something in us.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that very soon, because actually, you know, we've done a couple things recently, but I haven't talked to you about those old days, and I'm really excited to right now. So before Creative Music for Kids, what were you doing with singing? Was that your first thing into becoming a musician, or did you play guitar first?
No, I just sang first. I actually, for as long as I can remember, I sang just like, got a karaoke machine, you know, always singing. And I'll never forget this one time I was like just belting my heart out to this Kelly Clarkson song on my little karaoke at night, and my mom like told me to come see in her room, and she's just like, I can't believe how good you are, and yada yada. So yeah, I've been singing for as long as I can remember, and I think it was in kindergarten or first grade, I decided to do the school talent show.
Ooh.
And that is how I started Creative Music for Kids, because I sang at the talent show, and Miss Tammy, who does Creative Music for Kids, came up to me and my mom after and was like, hey, like, she's pretty good. Like, does she want to learn guitar? Like, what, does she want to do something with this? So
she taught you guitar?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yep.
Cool. Did you feel good right away, or were you like you liked doing it but you felt self-conscious?
I was self-conscious at first.
Yeah. See, because even if I wasn't good, I'd feel like I was the shit out there. it might sound kind of narcissistic, but I really do think highly of myself. But yeah, I was curious about that, because I mean, a lot of people are really gifted and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Damn. So you start Creative Music for Kids, and then how long into it did you meet up with everybody and kind of become a band? Were you in it for years?
I think 3 years I was in it before we became a band. Okay. So at that point, I was just learning guitar.
How old were y'all at that time? Because I know you're a little bit younger than some of the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, I was the youngest one.
It wasn't Alton?
Mm-mm. He might be the same age as me.
Oh, okay.
But, man, I was probably 9 at the time.
Damn, so you started that young.
Yeah, that young, because whenever, I mean, not to get ahead, but
yeah,
whenever we went to California, I was only 13.
Really?
Yeah, 13.
Well, okay, yeah, you're a few years younger than me. I mean, because I only say that because when I think of that time, it was like my freshman to senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy. Damn, that's why you're so good. You started forever ago.
Yeah, I did start forever ago.
So y'all become a band. Y'all were in an advanced class, and Miss Tammy just kind of got y'all a gig, and y'all went as Creative Music for Kids, but y'all were kind of coming up with a name.
Yeah, once we played a few shows and realized, like, hey, we like playing music together, and we want to do this, so.
Cool. Did y'all get along right away? Like, what was kind of what were your feelings about, like, being in a band and doing that? Did it, like, excite you, or did you not really see it as that?
I was really excited, because I never expected that to come out of it, and we pretty much all clicked right away. And, yeah, I mean, it was in a very exciting time.
You remember the first songs y'all did?
Oh, God. Last Kiss.
Oh, yeah. Is that that?
Was one of the first ones.
Who's that by? That's not the Lady Antebellum one, huh?
Mm-mm. Neil Diamond? No, that's Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, I remember that one, too. Y'all played that on the news. I remember I was watching the news. I was like, damn, go ahead.
I don't know. We did, like, Last Climb by Miley Cyrus, Second Chance by Shine Down.
So it was all covers at first.
Yeah. Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Don't know how many times I sang that.
God. That song is burned into my memory.
Oh, yeah.
With Creative Music for Kids, most of the songs were recycled.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of Last Kiss. Mm-hmm. Sometimes goodbye is the second chance.
The first ever song that I performed, it was before we were a band. The first song that I performed, like, by myself singing with a band behind me was I Love Rock and Roll.
That's not actually a bad one for that kind of thing, for your first song. That's actually a pretty good choice.
11 or 10.
Bet you rocked it too. Fire away. So that was your first gig at that 5K run. What would, do you have a, like a gig that stands out as like the top gig? Like when you look back, you wish every show could be like that one.
So there was this, I think it was a benefit for somebody, but it was it was something called Second Chance Prom. And it was mostly older people, but I mean the place was packed. It was at the event center where we played all the time. But it was packed. That show was so much fun because, like, even though they were older people and we were so young, they were just all really getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was just a regular event at the event center?
Yeah, it was a pretty big one. I mean, since it was, like, Second Chance Prom, it was, like, older people.
Was it just y'all or you had other bands with you?
We opened up for Velvet Sky, I think the band's name is.
I remember there was a band that was big at the time. I don't know why Christian rock was as big as it was, but like 316 Views.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We opened for them a few times. We played a few gigs together.
Y'all opened for them?
Mm-hmm. And they opened for us a few times. Switched it out.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually came the time where me and my band became a thing, the mm-hmm. Final Cut.
Yes.
Also came up with our name in the nick of time before our first show. And then we opened up for y'all a couple times. The mm-hmm. gig that I would remember from that time that's probably stood out the most was the one with, actually, I think that was our first show with Static Breakdown. They were headliner.
I remember that one because there was a lot of people at that show too. And that was like our first show that we had gotten somebody to do lights and stuff for. So yeah, that was a really cool show.
Yeah, like that, I mean, for us to have our first show ever in that kind of environment, yeah. It pumped us up so much that when the second one went awful, it was like we were at the top of whatever, the Himalayas,
yeah.
And you just kicked us off.
Oh, I know how it feels.
I was going to ask you that. So that's like one of your most memorable gigs.
Mm-hmm.
What is your worst gig? I'm hoping it's not what I'm thinking.
Well, it kind of is what you're thinking. It is. But
that was one of the worst bombs of my life. Me and Megan played, I think it was the first show we played together. It wasn't just us. It was a whole group of people. And we thought we were so hot that we didn't really need to practice. No one set up a practice. We had one like half day.
Yeah, it where was very disorganized.
Yeah, I think we played two of the songs we were gonna play, and then the rest of the time was, you know, in a practice environment, you have a drummer just playing shit. He wants to play on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
If a bass player is setting up, he's just gonna be like probably hitting something on the bass, and everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. And then it takes somebody with the discipline to mm-hmm. be like, hey, motherfuckers, we got a show to play.
Exactly.
Start playing these songs.
And that was the problem is at that time, I think that show was my last show, like, kind of known as Uprising. And at that time, we just didn't have all the members, so we needed other people. So
right.
We called you in and some other people and just...
You know what?
Things weren't serious at that time for some people, but...
And I tried, and I even tried to... bring backup on my end. I did kind of screw up because I didn't know the songs 100%, and I thought if I brought some cheat sheets with me I could get away with it, but I taped them to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the print was so small I couldn't see, so it was gonna look like I was just learning how to play guitar as I look at these chords and like look at the guitar. So that was my fault, but also everyone kind of knew their parts but we didn't know the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't fit well.
Yeah,
so,
there also was a few songs that like that was our first times playing them, so
that's true.
It wasn't your fault.
I'm going to tell you the three main things I remember from that event that made it horrible. The first thing was, we should have practiced more, but I feel like this guy screwed us. Because the guy who announced us onto that stage, he had his card with the information about us and what our names were to introduce us. And he comes up and he goes, "What's your name?" And I told him, I was like, "Well, we don't really have a name. This is our first time playing together." And he goes, "Well, I hope it doesn't sound like it." And sure fuck enough, it sounded like it. And so I knew I was doing bad when I looked, and our parents and Ms. Tammy were not excited to watch us. They were kind of turning around and looking at the rest, because it was like a Relay for Life festival. So
yeah, Relay for Life.
Yeah, so they were looking at the rest of the festival like, "Oh, I wonder what's going on over there." And then there was a break where you, Brennan, and Julianne were playing an acoustic song. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at Nick, because I was in a band with Nick at the time. I was about to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I was like, he was like, "Should we just go?" And we looked and we're like, "If we just let them three finish this show, I feel like it'll go a lot better than if we go back up there."
No, it was just and the sound guy was terrible.
I've had a few times like that. He was kind of terrible. You have like feedback or something's wrong with an instrument.
It was very windy that day.
You're trying to play a solo and you can't hear your guitar, nor can anyone else. So you just look like an idiot playing air guitar. So what do you feel about like looking back on those days? Would you change anything? Do you feel like it was as fun as it was supposed to be? Do you have any regrets? Do you have like anything you were really like happy you accomplished out of that you take with you?
So is those that too times, no, I'll try to
ask like five questions.
So those times were like the best times of my life. Like I had so much fun doing what I loved.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I regret is not like being comfortable like with stage presence. I wish I would have performed more, but I mean, I think that comes with age too. I mean,
yeah.
I was so young, but
that's exactly what I would say too. Well, what I mean by that, like how it relates to me, is that like the Final Cut, some of the best days of my life. Mm-hmm. I loved playing with y'all. I loved having this huge stage that we practiced at every week, because the event center we're talking about is like a huge venue for down here.
Yeah, and it has the best sound system pretty much around here.
It has like those huge PA speakers you see at like huge shows. But for one, we had an opportunity to like really have fun while on stage, and we all kind of like stood like statues, like you just said. So that would be something I regret. But also, what I take from that is I learned how, like, a band environment kind of operates.
Yeah.
You learn, like, people are different, and you know what brings you together with music. At that time, it was kind of forced because we all had different tastes in music.
Mm-hmm.
But because we were all in this program together, we knew songs together. So that gave us the platform to be like, we can learn this song and then this song.
Yeah.
And then we can have a whole set list and then we can take ourselves. And then it was crazy how full of ourselves we were for like 16. We thought we were so good that we didn't need the program. We didn't need, you know, Miss Tammy. We just wanted to play on our own. And the second we tried, it all fell apart.
Exactly. That's a regretful thing too, because without her, I mean, I definitely don't think I could have met these people or anything and been in a band and had some of the opportunities that I did.
Right. Well, because even if you went to school with everybody, you know, it would take in you to go out and initiate a, "Hey, you want to play with me?" And then setting up a time and then the specifics of making that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it just is unreal. Same thing with me. If I didn't find that program and if I didn't like get over myself and go to the Korean Music for Kids, I wouldn't have found this. I wouldn't be doing this right here. So I'm thankful for that.
Definitely. And people think it's so easy to be in a band. And I guess that's what we kind of thought too at one point whenever we tried to venture away.
Yeah.
But it's not easy being in a band.
No.
Because I mean, it's fun, but sometimes it's really hard because you have to have everybody included, and just getting along sometimes is hard.
Right.
Everybody has their different opinions, and you're just going to have to settle for what's going to make everybody happy. But
and then sometimes if there's certain people that aren't serious in your band and you make a decision to, like, make a change,
yep.
God forbid, that is a emotional horror show.
Yes.
I've had that happen a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not all like that. But, you know, I am curious about, you know, your insight as to, like, how that all progressed and, you know, how you feel about it all now. I mean, not, like, anything happened, but, you know, the learning experience of that. Because, I mean, you know, I was, like, the Uprising fan.
Yes, you were.
I had a wall with, like, 5 big old frame posters hung up, and y'all signed all of them. And I had a white T-shirt that I wore at one of y'all shows, and I got y'all all of them signed me. And then I hung that on the wall. So it's it's kind of like my own behind the music kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about music today?
I still love it, and I still want to do it. And I just, my music has definitely grown since I was in a band, and I'm definitely more confident in myself and writing and just in everything, in every aspect. Like, if I was performing, like, I would perform. I know I would have more stage presence.
Right. Well, you know, that's one thing I'm kind of, you know, contemplating with the Attic Productions, you know, a live show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
We were talking about that, you know, how we were statues in the past, and if we just got on stage today, how much it would be so different. I was in a band in Nashville, and I was about 19 at the time,
mm-hmm.
and just that experience, because I was playing bass, so it was kind of easy to play, so I was able to, like, move on stage, and then I thought back to my Final Cut days. I'm like, if only I just bent my knees.
Yeah.
just walked from one guy to the next.
Exactly.
You know, gave some live presence. What kind of music has you excited right now that you've been listening to? I know we talked about Greta Van Fleet. Is that?
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet's my favorite band right now. I really like Lynn and Stella. Just, I don't know, I'm kind of all over the place right now. Like, I love some classic rock sound and stuff.
Yeah.
Some really hard rock, metal, but I also like really soft, mellow stuff.
Same with me. It's crazy. I work at, like, 4 in the morning for a vending machine company, so I drive my truck, like, a really long ways. And you'd think I would be, like, dead asleep trying to pump myself up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to, like, some slow-ass music. I listen to all, like, Us and Them on Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd song. It's, like, real, real soft and Great Gig in the Sky. All these just, like, slow songs. And I'm like, this does not feel natural. I don't know. I was curious about what kind of music gets you excited, because, I mean, things are just so different now than they used to be, but sometimes I feel kind of bummed when everybody's excited about something that's garbage.
Yes.
And there's just so much good music out there, but, you know, the industry changes because, you know, things going viral and
exactly.
It's just everything works in a different way, so I don't think it promotes, you know, the quality of music. It promotes just whatever people are going to remember.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't promote talent.
Right.
Because you don't need talent to get discovered these days.
Exactly. And even, like, people that are kind of in the mainstream that I do like, you know, I feel like their music would sound way different if we were in a different time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I just go back and forth in my head about it.
Yeah, like, I love Lynn and Stella's music, and, like, she's not mainstream yet, but she's on tour with the Chainsmokers right now. So, like, I hope that her sound doesn't change because of that. And
yeah.
Because she has a really different sound, I find.
I wish we could listen to stuff right now. That would be so perfect. I hate that I'm putting this on YouTube and that I'm limited in what I put. Because I was really excited to do that, but then I got into a wormhole of Googling the laws, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have some really cool stuff sounding.
Yeah, definitely.
I said that wrong. We have some good sounding stuff. What kind of thing would you like to get into next between me and you?
Maybe something softer, but upbeat at the same time.
Softer, but upbeat.
Not like a rocky sound, but just like kind of like a mellow, maybe a little bit electronic stuff. Mm. Nothing too crazy because I'm more of like an authentic sounding person.
Yeah.
Well, that's I like people actually playing instruments and not just pressing buttons. Yeah. So.
I like that too, but I'm unfortunately limited to some buttons.
Well, yeah.
Except for, you know, those.
But it's different whenever you know you have the talent.
Right. Well, I don't know that.
Well, you do. I know that you know better than just pushing buttons to make sounds.
It's so crazy going from, you know, not doing anything for so long to doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole new, like, confidence that I don't know where it came from.
I know.
I've never had this confidence. Never. I think it has to be... I think when you, like, are growing up and you just, like, have enough life experiences, something clicks in your head, and then one day you realize, like, I used to not want to do that, or I used to be scared of that, and I'm not. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. It's like it literally happened overnight. Not this, but just me feeling like I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's exciting.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about that before. You were in a little bit of a rut, were you?
Yeah, I was. Just not confident in anything and not liking my voice, but I think I'm coming out of that rut.
I hope so.
Because I'm excited to do more.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot coming.
Well, that's one weird thing about, like, being in this rut, because I just think back to how I felt whenever I was in a band and stuff, because I'm pretty sure it was 2011. I felt like I was on top of the world because I was in the beta club for school. They had, I think it's just called the beta convention. And you do different people do different things. Like, there's a talent show. There's, like, a sculpture thing, like, or make a photo album. And, like, who has the best photo album or something. Just all kind of different talents. Mm-hmm. And I did the talent show. And if you win first place, you go on to the bigger beta convention, and the state one. Mm-hmm. So I won first place. I played guitar and sang to Jar of Hearts. And still to this day, that's like my dad's favorite song that I do. But so I won at just the little convention, then went to the state convention and played all by myself, just me and my guitar, singing Jar of Hearts in front of 11,500 people in the Cajun Dome in Lafayette, like, by myself. And, like, I was so nervous, like, about to cry right before I went up. But, like, whenever I walked on stage, like, I just, like, felt at peace.
Just went away. That's
but,
how
like,
it works.
At one point, they, like, the whole place started clapping. I was like, oh, no, no, don't get off beat. Don't get off rhythm. So that was a little scary. But, like, so I did that. And then, like, right after that, me and the band entered the competition school jam, and we had to go through different levels of voting, and we just got through all the different levels, and we were one of the top 10 teen bands in the USA. So we were able to go perform in California. We played in Disneyland. We got to go to the NAMM convention, and it's just so crazy to think that I felt on top of the world then. And, like, I had people, like, in front of me telling me, like, oh, you're so good and stuff. But, like, even though you have those people telling you how good you are, a few years from now, like, you're going to be in a rut because you're not, even though people believe in you, sometimes you might not believe in yourself. And that's kind of how I was. So, but I'm kind of out of that and I believe in myself again. And
I believe in you. Know what else I believe in? Signs.
Yes. Oh, give me a sign.
This is the kind of music we can play.
Yes.
If anyone doesn't know, this is Uprising. Give me a sign. May 18th, 2012, you can catch them at the Cajun Country
God,
Event Center.
That is still up there.
The Bayou Playhouse, Lockport, Louisiana, August 11th, 2012.
That was a fun show.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that y'all last show? It looks like it.
Yeah. It was just in a little acoustic show.
I bet y'all probably had a couple of those towards the end. Was it kind of just you, Brennan, and Julianne?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm starting this as the Attic Production, but it's going to end as, like, Uprising Productions.
Oh, God.
And it's just
going to
be me, you, and everybody else from the band. You hear that?
Oh, God.
You know what? Listening to you and Julianne at the same time, it makes me remember one time I came up to you and I found out how to put, I don't know if it was this song or one of y'all other ones on my phone as a ringtone.
Oh, God.
And I was so excited. I think it was Give Me a Sign, and it was this part right here, right? It wasn't that part right there, but one of those lyrics I showed you, I was like, oh, my God, Megan, I love you. And you went, that's great. That's Julianne, but I'm glad you like the song.
I don't remember that, but yeah. This is definitely a fun song. We would come out to this song, and, like, we had little risers, and I would just, like, get on the rise and be like, hey.
Wasn't that the coolest part? Y'all had those risers, and there's one for Julianne, there's one for you, and then slowly, it's almost like it's choreographed. Like, she would get up, and you would get up, and y'all sing the high part both on that thing. Man, I miss those days. Just going to a show that was local people you know. And you had, like, that celebrity status, but, like, right after the show, you're just hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you usually do. It gives you this, I don't know, it's almost like a power. It's like this extra boost that, like, of reinforcement that I just did something, like, awesome.
Yeah, and after every show, most of the time, the band would get together and, like, we would just hang out at the house till all hours of the night. And
you had the house.
Yeah. My house was the house that everybody came to. But yeah, and just after every show, like, people coming up to you, talking to you about different things, and, like, little girls coming to ask you for your autograph. Like, okay, this isn't worth anything, but sure. Like,
and then 16-year-olds named Andre come ask you for your autograph.
But, yeah, I mean, it was definitely weird to be that young because I was the youngest one in the band. And just, like, people asking you for your autograph. And, I mean, because I knew, like, okay, yeah, like, this is a really small town. So, like, everybody knows us here. But, like, I know I wasn't shit. Like, like, yes, I knew I was talented.
Did you hear the recording?
But this, like, I knew I had some talent, but at the same time, like, I was very level-headed.
Well, that's good, but you were talented, definitely. I still believe in this music. I think Uprising will make a comeback one day.
I mean, Carry Me, I don't know if people really ever listen to that song, but that's one of my favorites. Probably my favorite.
I remember at the time, I wasn't sure about it because, like, this right here, this didn't feel like naturally, y'all.
Yeah.
It felt like produced, which, I mean, is not a bad thing at all. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was like, this isn't Uprising.
Yeah, it's very different from everything else we did.
Like, the man took you. But you and Julianne sound amazing, honestly. And I still listen to it.
That was what was fun about the song, is me and Julianne had so much say in how things went for that song. Yeah. Like, not that that was important for me to have any say in anything, but we came up with just, like, most of the melody and stuff, and going into the bridge, like, we just had so much fun playing around with different things, making echo noises and
yeah.
stuff. Just making so many layers, and that was kind of the first song that I did that, like, I was introduced to the production side of things.
Right. Where did y'all record these?
Infinite Studios.
Oh, yep, so that's how you place. Got to know.
Yeah, that's what I record my newer stuff at.
Gotcha. Lost.
Yeah. Dead to me.
Actually, that's the only one I have on my phone. Well, I have Lost now, but I got that when it was on iTunes, so I got the picture and everything.
Yep.
And also, y'all were really good at transitioning from song to song, like, especially, like, with Bubba with his guitar, like, he usually had some sort of thing into the next song. Like, y'all used to play Give Me a Sign. I know this.
Yeah.
Y'all used to play Give Me a Sign, and then you would go into Birth of a Hero, and, and then probably after that.
God, Birth of a Hero. I forgot about that.
let's listen to it real quick.
I totally forgot about that.
See, this is Uprising, right? I had Bubba's solo for Beautiful Nightmare on my phone, like, as a ringtone forever. Like, you hit me up, like, you text me, it's like...
Well, I remember at a telethon we did, you and Final Cut were doing it too. But, like, you came up to us and was just like, look, I know how to play all your songs. Uh-huh. And, like, you really did know how to play all of them on guitar.
I'd sit at home and practice. Well, particularly I liked Give Me a Sign, the intro, learning that on guitar. Because it's really cool. It's just three little movements, but it sounds like you're doing way more.
Yeah,
than that.
Yeah. For whenever we went to California for Beautiful Nightmare, before that, I didn't do anything for that song. I just did backup vocals. But
really?
Going to California, like, we wanted to everybody to have a part in everything. So, like, I learned, like, this little guitar part to do while doing backup vocals. And, like, it was literally probably three notes, but it was so much fun, and it added to it, so.
Well, that's one thing about Uprising that was always sort of obvious, but it worked at the same time. That although y'all had a great sound, it had to be frustrating having three singers in that band, because your drummer Brennan sang, Julianne sang, and you sang. If it was just you and Julianne, I mean, y'all made it work also because y'all could harmonize really well together and share verses and chorus. But then having songs where only Brennan singing, and then y'all are just up there, Julianne hops on the keys, and you hop on a guitar. But I'm sure you probably, I mean, I don't mean to speak for you, but I'm sure it would have been easier to have two singers.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating at times, but it also was kind of cool to just showcase that, like, we can do more.
Right.
But, yeah, it definitely got frustrating.
Well, just like you
especially
said.
Especially in California.
Right. Well, it's just like you said, everyone felt like they needed to have a part in the song.
Yeah.
You know, but y'all are a band. I don't know, but it worked either way. Where did these two guys come from?
So that is when we decided to kind of break free from Miss Tammy. And that was after California. And we wanted to be really serious about everything, and we thought we could do it on our own. So two members were taken out of the equation, and we got these two guys, and I mean, they were really, really good, but just at the end of the day, I think it was just that time where we were so different in ages, just such a range, and everybody was just going in different places. And like with me being the youngest one, like I was going into high school and they were juniors, and some of them, like the newer members, were older than that. So yeah, it was just so different, and they didn't know, they weren't in bands, I guess, before, or they were, but I guess we just all weren't on the same level,
right,
of seriousness and what we wanted to do with it. And that's just kind of how things fell apart, is going different ways. And
well, even if Uprising never got back together, which, you know, they might not.
Mm-mm.
I think one of my projects through this studio will involve, if not all, most of you. I want just one song, like the swan song of Uprising. The final cut, if you will.
Yeah. No, I definitely miss having people to harmonize with, because it is hard finding people that can harmonize.
Could you teach me to sing? And then I could...
I think you have an ear.
I can do a falsetto pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel ridiculous. In fact, whenever the first band I was in after Final Cut, it was a 3-piece band, I think you remember, with me, my friend Dallas, and Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was trying to get us gigs, and we were practicing in Schriever, which is kind of not a rural area, but there's not a lot over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we would practice, but then his neighbors called the cops on us three times. One of the struggles of being, trying to be a rock star in a residential area.
Yeah, that definitely happened to us.
Yeah. So we had to try to find new practice spaces. So I was finding a couple, but Miss Tammy let us use the event center one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, and of course she wants to hang out and listen. So we're playing, and I'm trying to do backup vocals, or one of our songs we were trying to figure out, and we did pretty well, was Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
But
Led Zeppelin, one of my favorite bands.
Oh yeah. I could give me time to talk about Led Zeppelin. But
oh, I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
I have a Led Zeppelin tattoo.
Oh my god.
I also have John Lennon.
I knew about that.
And the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper down here.
I didn't know about that one either.
Yeah, those are my, that's the Holy Trinity right there.
Yeah.
But, okay. Miss Tammy was listening to us. No, that's okay. But I tried to hop on the mic for a couple songs, specifically the Led Zeppelin songs, because those were like mine.
Mm-hmm.
I played bass in that band, but those songs we would trade, and I'd play guitar, and he would play bass. So we're playing, and Miss Tammy, she starts giving me notes on my singing. And she's like, why don't you go a little higher? When you try to use your regular voice, you're flat. And I was like, all right. And so I sang like this. It's been a long time since I rock and roll. Like, I sang like that the whole song. And I felt ridiculous. She goes, that's it. That's good. And I was like, no, that's not good. I sound like I didn't drop. I lost my voice, and I was trying to like sing this song. It was bad. But if needed, the falsetto can come out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Man, I had so many times in the past playing music that it was almost like everything was almost just right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the struggle everybody goes through.
Yep.
Being in a small town.
Definitely.
So, what do you think? Should we do some live stuff eventually?
I think so. I'd like that.
I have a whole PA and stuff. I know you got a microphone or two.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got a guitar or two.
Yeah, I got a few guitars, a few microphones.
Well, I think we can make it work.
I think so, too.
I'm excited about our future. For anyone listening that hasn't heard it already, me and Megan just did a song called... it's a cover of John Lennon's song, Love. You should check that out.
Yes.
Megan has a song called Lost that's released through the Attic Productions that she recorded through Infinite Studios. That's badass. You just heard a little bit of it in the beginning of the show. I have a song called My Way Out that I recorded in Nashville.
That's really cool.
Thank you. In the promo episode that I recorded, I talked about my time in Nashville and, you know, kind of what I've done up till now. And that song I wrote in my apartment in Nashville on a guitar. It sounded way different.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I just had studio time because I went to the school, Dark Horse Institute, and the owner of an actual studio named Dark Horse Recording created the school because he was hiring on interns that didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he found a business opportunity in teaching.
Yep.
So going to the school, when you graduated, you were offered an internship spot if you were looked at as, like, if you didn't, like, flunk out or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. So I did that, and you didn't get paid, but you got studio time. So I was just in the studio messing around, and we like to hook up, like, all the microphones and, like, just, like, test, like, see what they all sound like.
Yeah.
And one of those days, I was always the one in the booth. That was my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I missed lessons because, like, we would be testing microphones or we would be, you know, just testing gear and seeing what's different. But and we always needed, like, something to record. So I always just wanted to be in the one in the booth because that's, mm-hmm. like, a dream. Like,
yeah.
just being in a recording room, looking through the glass, seeing people at the console.
Yep.
And, what was my point? I just talked about liking to play in the studio. Oh, I just played that guitar part for My Way Out. And then I was like, this is going to be a song. And so I sat there listening to it, and I wrote lyrics. And I had a buddy named Reeve Powers, who's actually a really, like, he toured, like, 3 times in Europe and North America with a couple different bands. But he's getting back into it. But he was just waiting on a ride. I was like, you want to sing? And he's like, I guess. And so he sang to just an acoustic guitar. And then slowly I asked favors of, like, several other people. And then boom. But it took, like, over a year to get people to do it for free.
Yeah, it's hard to find people to do things.
Yep. And me and Megan are back. We're going to be recording more music for you guys to enjoy. We were kind of talking about a couple ideas. We're going to do some covers. We're going to do some originals.
Yep.
But you haven't heard the last of Megan. Me either. We've hit just about an hour. And one thing, I forgot to tell you before. I was, but I forgot. One thing I'd like to ask of all my guests is that they perform something for the end of the podcast.
Okay.
You think you got a song in you?
I think so.
Yeah. We can hook up the guitar. You can go a cappella. We can play an uprising track. Sing along to that.
Let's get a guitar.
Okay. All right. I'm going to set you up real quick. But, you know, for everybody, again, my name is Andre Olivier. You're here jamming in the attic. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to have something coming, I think, every other week. I'm going to try to make that happen. If you guys like it, we can go every week. If you like it even more, we can go more than that. But that's how it's going to be for right now. Find me on Instagram at The Attic Productions. Find me on Facebook at The Attic Productions 1. Or just look up The Attic Productions. I think it worked too. We're on Bandcamp at theatticproductions.bandcamp.com. That's where you can find all free content, podcasts, music. But covers you'll find on YouTube. And there's so much. Just go find us on Instagram or Facebook. Thank you, everybody. Here's a song from Megan Ford. Secrets I have held in my heart are harder.
too high than I thought. Baby, I just wanna be yours. Wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. Let me be your lucky meter. I'll never run out. Let me be the portable heater that you get caught without. Wanna be a setting lotion. I wanna be hold your head in deep devotion. At least as deep as the Pacific Ocean. I wanna be yours. Secrets I have held in my heart are harder to hide than I thought. Baby, I just wanna be yours. Wanna be yours. Wanna be yours.
There's a little something.